Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word is truth. We thank you, Lord, we really thank you that the Apostle Paul wrote to this Gentile church in this little Rome called Philippi. And Lord, as he wrote, he reminded them how much you love them, how you've chosen them, and how they were to live for you. And living for you wasn't so much about what we do, but about what you've done. That you took the cross. That you've forgiven us our sins. That you provide for us your word and your sacraments. That you choose us to be your children. That you give us the privilege of being heirs of God and co-heirs with you, Lord Jesus Christ. And that out of this flows a desire for obedience. And in this last part of your letter, of St. Paul's letter, you instructed him to write this in such a way that we would understand that you want all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. That we would love you as you love us. And that we would strive to live as your people, living for Christ. So may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Cairo. The word here for rejoice. St. Paul starts with these words, and it's actually the beginning of the end of his letter to that church in Philippi or Philippi, depending on how you were raised. He is writing this letter, and as he's getting to the close, he wants to reiterate for people what it means to be the follower of Christ, to live for Christ, as he challenged them to do back in the first chapter, to live for Christ, understand who we are in Christ, and to be living out our identity as children of God and being obedient because of who we are in Christ. And he says this, and it sounds so harsh. If you just read it without understanding the whole context, it sounds like he's basically making an imperative statement. You better rejoice or else. How many of you feel like rejoicing when someone says, you better rejoice or else? No, it doesn't sound, you know, like it would be sincere or authentic, right? And yet if you understand the context, if you read the whole book, if you're getting to the end, you understand what he's saying is, he's saying, as you live out your life for Christ, as you are a child of God, as you are the person God has made you, as you recognize that you are called, and you're not only called, but you are chosen. In the gospel lesson, you heard the difference. Many are called, but few are chosen. You're chosen. Isn't that awesome? So when you're chosen, you recognize that God has given us this gift. He wants us to be in relationship with him. He wants all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And so I'm going to ask you to remember three words today, and we're going to look at this text with the through the spectrum of three words. Heart, head, and hands. Can you remember those three words? What are they? Heart, head, and hands. I want us to think about this last section that we're looking at in the letter to the Philippians, and I would like you to take away from this today that God wants all of our heart, all of our head, and all of our hands. Does that make sense? That's really the way to summarize living for Christ. All of our head, all of our heart, and all of our hands. Okay, can you put up that lesson from Philippians chapter 4, please? It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. When St. Paul or God says something twice, is it important? Yes. It means pay attention. Let your reasonableness, this really is a better translation of this, I think, is your gentle spirit, be known to everyone, to all people. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, I used to put this, it's funny because I used to put this at the bottom of all of my of, you know, back in the day when you used to not use email for everything and you used to have letterhead, and at the bottom you used to put like things like your address and little Bible verses and stuff that people might find valuable. I put it in the signature still, you know, little sayings every once in a while. I change them. But, you know, it's funny because I used to put this at the bottom of every bit of correspondence that went out because I thought it was so important. And I'll never forget when a person came to me and said, you know, it really sounds bad when you start with an imperative. I said, well, I was in the military. Okay? So military, if you've ever been in the military, most things start with an imperative. You understand what I'm saying? Most things start with a command. They don't start with an ask, they start with a command. So, you know, it made sense to me. But I understand. So, you know, I said to them, I said, well, let me see. Maybe I'll start with verse 1 of chapter 4 because it's nice. So I start with verse 1 and then I just jump to verse 4. But really, what he's saying is, okay, this is the command. Rejoice the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness or your gentle spirit be made known to everyone. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is here. The kingdom is here. We're part of it. We're walking in it. The Lord is here. We just celebrated the Lord's Supper. The Lord is truly here. It's amazing. It's a gift. Wherever two or more of my people are gathered in my name, he says in Matthew 18. What does he say? I am there in the midst of them. Awesome. Do not be anxious about anything. So what he's basically saying is, why are we rejoicing? Not because we have to, but because it's a response. And this is why I say every once in a while, St. Paul does this. If we were going to be a critical person, which we're of course not critical, right? Because that wouldn't be a good thing. And we would go to St. Paul and say, you know, it would have really been better if you would have put this first and had this here. You know, don't you think? If he would have explained why we should rejoice first. Because really what he's doing is he's saying, rejoice the Lord, and this is why. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What is supplication? Pleading, yes. It's an urgent sense of I need you. It's an urgent sense of pleading. It's not a word we use a lot, right? How many of you go around to your children and say, you must live a life of supplication? We might like them to, but do we use that word very much? Not really. And yet it has to do with the attitude or the posture or the way in which we approach God. It doesn't it? He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. How much is everything? All of it. In all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, if you were to think about this, if you're in a right relationship with God, and you understand that he made everything, that everything is in his hands, we're saved by grace, everything, he does it all, right? Nothing that we bring to the table, everything is about him. Then why does he have to say with thanksgiving? Yeah, it's not necessary, but is it helpful? Yes. Does it help us to understand supplication with thanksgiving? Does it really help us to understand what posture or what way in which we approach this? In humility, exactly. Why didn't he just say humility? See, we can't be critical, right? But, you know, wouldn't it saved a lot of work, a lot of translation? Supplication with thanksgiving means when you approach God, and he's basically when you're going to make a desperate request to God, right? A desperate request to God, he wants to make it very clear that when we do this, we should have the right attitude, the right posture. Isn't it in Philippians 2 where he tells us we should have the same attitude as Christ? Yes. When we approach God, we should have the right posture, the right motive, the right attitude. And he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It's kind of like if you didn't get it through with the word supplication, folks, this is a gotcha, right? If you didn't get supplication meaning humble, respectful, thankful, it's thanksgiving. Then he says, let your request be made known to God. Wasn't a supplication a request? Right? So again, is he using a lot of doubles here? Remember what I said? What's important whenever you see God or someone like Jesus or St. Paul or someone say something more than once? What is it telling you? It's very important. Pay attention. So he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then what? Next slide, please. Oh. We jumped it a little bit. There we go. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't you love this? Haven't you? I mean, that's why I put on the bottom of my letterhead and on all my correspondence, because don't we want the peace of the Lord that passes all human understanding? This is what you would might call in contemporary speech a mind-blowing experience. Isn't that what we want? You're going, huh? That's kind of already old. I aged myself. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that we want people to experience God so much that when they make the request, they're so humble, they're so ready, they're making it with that sense of posture of humility, that in all things with prayer and supplication, with that ultimate humility to say, Lord, here I am, I surrender everything to you. What did he say to pray about? Everything, okay? I surrender everything to you. I make my request because I know everything is under your control. Now, I want to ask you something. If you truly let go and let God, can you have peace? What does he say? You can have peace that, what? Okay, I was going to say blows your mind, but that's fine. Isn't that what he means? Surpasses all of our, what? Understanding. What does that mean? It blows our minds. It's so much bigger than what we can contemplate or figure out on our own, right? Or fathom. Yes, very good biblical word. Thank you. Yes. And I want to just say that isn't that where our hearts ought to be? Remember the Grinch? Yeah, I know. We're getting... It sort of felt like Christmas the last few days. I was in Canada. It was snowing. It definitely felt like Christmas. But I got to tell you, what happened to the Grinch? That was the miracle of the Grinch. He got overwhelmed by love. But what's the illustration? His heart grew three sizes. So when we understand and we truly come to everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we make our requests to God. We basically say, here I am, God. I am in this relationship that you invite me to be in. You did it all. You paid the price. You give us the invitation. You say, come dwell with me. Be my child. Be the heir of God and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Here's the invitation. He says, when you accept this invitation, what's going to happen? If you truly let go of everything and let God come in, what's going to happen? What happened to the Grinch? No anxiety and peace, and our hearts are going to go, whew. Yeah. So remember, what did I say the first word was? Heart. When we are in that loving relationship with God and we surrender all to God and are ready with expectation to receive from him, he has all of our heart. And really all of our soul. And then he goes on to say, that if we're to love the Lord our God, which is the greatest commandment, with all our heart, soul, and what? With our mind. And here he says, this will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then he uses that word finally, because we're coming to the end of the letter, and we're coming to the end of the sermon, for those of you who are wondering. He says, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What did I say? Heart first, then what? Head. If we're dwelling there, if we're thinking about these things, if we have given everything over to God, and now we're saying, Lord, not only have you blown our minds, but we want to get our minds in the same place as your mind. We want to have the same thoughts as your thoughts, the same manners as your manners, the same life as your life. Do you see what I'm saying here? So isn't that what St. Paul's saying? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. Aren't these words that we would use to describe God? Yeah. Yes, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And then what does he say? Keep going. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Practice them. What did I say the next thing was? First our heart, then our head, and then what? Our hands. Practice these things. Because I'll tell you something that it bothers me, and I know it bothers all pastors, is when somebody says, God's got a hold of my heart. I love God. I love Jesus Christ. I am ready to go. I am burning with passion. Boy, God loves me, and I love him. And okay, and it stops. And nothing happens. And you go, you know, you kind of scratch your head, you go, okay, let's just go back a second. Where's all the love? This is where you can actually say, with all honesty, I just ain't feeling the love. Because if God truly has all of our heart, then will he get all of our head? Yes. And will he get all of our hands? If we believe that we have given everything over to God, I'm trying to help you to understand why he said rejoice. Because if you want to get to a place where you rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, it's when we do these things. When we let God, let his love expand our hearts so that it our body can hardly contain it. When we let him have so much control of our mind that we are always asking, what is pure? What is lovely? What is just? What is commendable? What is excellent? When we're trying to walk with God so that what we do matches what God does, isn't there a sense that when we get to this point that we will, that the God of peace will be with us? This is what I call a sweet spot. Anybody ever been in a sweet spot? Yeah, it's a mountaintop experience. That's what I'm hoping for next weekend when we have this guy come in and talk about prayer. I'm hoping that we'll have a sweet spot where we will experience the presence of God, because I know when people gather to pray, God shows up, and there's a sweet spot. And that's why I'm gonna leave it there, because I don't have time, but I'm going to say, if you keep on going, he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. And then he goes on to say, he's been in want. He has plenty, has plenty want. He knows that in all things, God in Christ strengthens him, right? And when Jesus said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, what was he talking about? He's talking about a strength that understands that God is there with us, that he dwells with us, and he walks with us, and he gives us our strength. He is our strength. So brothers and sisters, may you not only know and trust in God. Now, when I use the word know, I'm not talking about a head knowledge. I'm talking about the know, the yada of the Old Testament, the knowledge, the intimacy that Adam and Eve had, the intimacy that God wants to have with us, the intimacy of two becoming one, where God wants to be in us and wants to work through us. I mean, there's an intimacy, there's a knowledge of God that is more than just a bunch of facts. There's a knowledge of God that's an intimate relationship. And when I say that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, when he has all of our heart, that's a love relationship. When he has all of our mind, it's that because we love him so much, we want to be like him. And it's when we give him our hands, it's because we want others to experience the relationship we have. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you want all of our hearts, you want all of our heads, and you want all of our hands, because you, O Lord, want people to experience the love that you have, that amazing love, that peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. We will never understand the depth of your love. We will never understand the depth of your grace. We'll never understand the depth of your peace. Lord, that is a gift. And we pray each and every day as we experience the present, We would look back to the past, we would experience the present and look forward to the future, Lord, that we would experience it as a gift, that the peace that passes all understanding would indeed be in our hearts and our minds, that we would be guarded against the negative things of this world, against those things that we have no control over, those things that would seek to pull us down. Lord, that we would trust that you can lift us up, that you can always carry us, that you can get us through, that we can love you with all of our heart and all of our head and all of our hands, Lord, that we can do what you promise, and we will see amazing things happen. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.